Hi, everybody. This is Pam, and you're listening to the podcast Women Who Stutter, Our Stories, which you can find on the blog Make Room for the Stuttering at www.stutterrockstar.com. And it's also freely available as a download on iTunes. Today, as always, I have the opportunity and privilege to speak with yet another amazing woman who's going to share parts of her story. So I'd like to say hello to Megan. Hey, Megan, how's it going?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm really excited that you're going to be a guest today, and we're looking forward to hearing your story.
Yeah, me too.
So, to get us started, could you formally introduce yourself? Tell us who you are and where you're from and what you do to keep busy.
My name is Megan, and I'm 29 years old. I live in New Hampshire. I've lived in New Hampshire all my life. Right now, I am currently trying to stay busy because I've been sick recently, and I've been trying to stay out of the hospital and trying to stay healthy, taking care of myself, going to the gym, going to AA and NA, stuff like that. I also hang out with my nephew, who is 4.5 years old. His name is Hayden, and I love him very much. We have a great relationship.
What did you say his name was?
Hayden
with an H. Oh, that's yeah. That's such a cool name.
Yeah.
So you said that you're not working because you've been sick, and you're taking care of yourself and working on staying healthy?
Yeah.
And you said that you go to AA and NA meetings?
Yes.
Yeah. Do you tell people that you stutter?
Okay.
So you were saying that you have been starting to tell people in your groups?
Recently in AA.
Yeah, I started to tell people in my AA and NA groups.
Started to tell
because
people
when I say hi, my name is Megan. I always stutter, and when I read from something, I always have trouble. What I do is, what I've always done is, I switch out words when I'm talking, so that I don't stutter. And I've done that for a really long time, so that I do it subconsciously now. So I do say a lot because I'm trying to think of how to say what I'm trying to say. So in AA and NA, I've started to tell people, and it's felt really good to be able to tell people and to be able to stutter freely, because I've never been able to accept it. I've always thought that it was a flaw of mine that I needed to hide, and I've always been embarrassed about it. So that's why I've always hid it.
Yeah, I can certainly relate to that, Megan, because I did the same thing myself for many years. I was what we call a covert stutterer for about 30 years, for the same reasons. I was embarrassed. I didn't want people judging me. I didn't want people thinking that I wasn't smart. And really the main thing for me is I was ashamed of it. So I did similar things. I switched words. I would use long pauses and pretend that I was trying to figure out what I was saying. I use a lot of ums and ahs as well as filler words, because I think when I use an what I'm really trying to do is not stutter. So those are tricks that we build up over the years to help us not stutter. But I found once I kind of just decided that I had had enough of it, I found that stuttering openly is so freeing, and I just felt so much better about myself once I decided to do that.
Yeah, I've always been scared of being made fun of because I've had a couple things happen. Like when I was 15, I worked at a bowling alley and I did birthday parties. And a father of one of the kids came up to me and asked me what my name was, and of course I had an issue saying it because I have a hard time saying my name. So I stuttered through it, and he laughed at me, and he said, "Well, Megan, can I get a cup of coffee?" And he just mimicked me and made fun of me and laughed at me. And I was only 15, and this was an adult making like a joke out of like me stuttering, and I couldn't believe that he really would make fun of me.
How did you react to that?
Well, I just got him a cup of coffee, and I did what he asked without reacting to it. And then, of course, later on that day when I got home, I told my parents, and my dad was not happy about it, and I cried, and I was humiliated. So I did cry a lot about it.
That's what I used to do too. And I still do that today, even as an adult, because sometimes I still get made fun of as an adult, and it just blows my mind that people, especially adults, can be so ignorant and so mean to make fun of somebody that's doing something that they can't help. And especially you, when you were 15 as a child, that's just totally unacceptable that that adult did that. But I can understand why you didn't, why you didn't react, because it was probably kind of intimidating. Yeah. Has anything like that happened to you as an adult?
I mean, I've been hung up on the phone, like people getting irritated with me trying to listen to me and not being able to understand me and hanging up on me. I've had that happen before. I've had people make fun of me, but not really. I really try to hide it, like, as much as possible so that I don't get made fun of.
Yeah, it's kind of like a defense mechanism, right?
Yeah.
How long have you stuttered?
Since I was three. My parents saw it happening when I was three. We have like a recording of a voicemail when I was three, and you can hear me stuttering in it. So very long time. I went through counseling from when I was in elementary school all the way up into middle school. And when I was in middle school, I stopped going because kids started noticing that I was leaving and didn't know where I was going. So they started to wonder, and I didn't want kids to wonder where I was going, so I stopped going to speech therapy.
Yeah. What about as an adult? Have you had any speech therapy?
Here and there, I tried some things. I got a Speakeasy. I don't know if you've heard of those.
Yeah, I have.
I got one of those. I tried that. I've really tried a lot of different things and a lot of different ideas and stuff like that. And I really just tried to take care of it myself.
Now, how long did you use the Speakeasy for?
Probably only a couple months. I just couldn't get used to it. No matter what I did, I couldn't get used to the whole echoing and hearing and listening. I mean, I have ADHD. I just, it just wasn't happening. Listening to that, trying to do something else at the same time, it was just not working out for me.
Oh boy. Yeah. I've never tried one. So I've never purchased one, but I hear that they're really expensive.
Yeah, it was $5,000.
Oh my gosh.
The insurance didn't cover it.
No? Oh, wow.
Yeah. My dad wasn't very happy that it didn't work out.
Yeah, I bet. I bet. Yeah. Are you able to like sell it to somebody else? Maybe.
No, because it's perfectly made for your ear.
Oh.
They like put like stuff in your ear, and it's like perfectly made for your ear canal.
Oh.
So, you can't. I mean, I still have it. It still works.
But it just doesn't work for you because you couldn't get used to it.
Yeah.
So,
I've tried it again over the years. I've tried it here and there.
Yeah. And it's still kind of the same thing. It's not happening.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you said you've got ADHD. Does that affect your stuttering?
I don't think it does. I think that's just part of how I acted in school and stuff. It happened more in high school. It started to happen in middle school. What I started to do was not do work because I had to present it. In high school, I would either skip the class or just not do the work altogether. If I knew that I had to share it or present it. If I had to read something out loud, then I would like leave the room, go to the bathroom, just not be in the room for that period of time. Just completely always get out of there so that I didn't stutter in front of the classroom. because everybody would look, and it would be wicked embarrassing because
Yeah.
everybody was waiting for you to, like, read your part.
Right.
And you can't change the words when you're reading off of something and everybody's looking at it.
Right. Oh, I know what you mean. I have a hard time with that myself when I'm reading out loud in front of other people. I'm fine when I'm reading out loud, like at home, and it's just me. I don't really stutter then, but if I have to read something that's been prepared or like a script, I really stutter a lot too, and I try not to do that because,
Yeah.
like you said, you can't switch the words, so it can really be embarrassing, especially as an adult.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you and I met through the Stutter Social app, which
Yes.
You joined recently. So, are you trying to get more involved with the stuttering community?
Yeah. I found your podcast first, and then I found your website, and then I ended up finding, other sites on there, and I found Stutter Talk, and then I found the Stutter Talk book, and then I found the Stutter Social and the app and all that. So I slowly been like investigating more into it and slowly finding more and more stuff about it. That I didn't know was out there.
Right.
So,
isn't it amazing?
Yeah, to find all this stuff, is really a relief and a great I don't know how to put it. It's just a great resource to have, all these people that are going through the same thing I go through, and are okay with it. I've never been okay with it. So for me to go to that Stutter Social the other day, that was the first time I've ever just let myself be and just stutter.
For those of you listening, what Megan is referring to is we have a Stutter Social group video chat every Sunday evening from 7:30 to 9 p.m. Eastern Time, and anybody's welcome to attend, and you can find the information to join on Facebook or at Stutter Social's website, stuttersocial.com. And Megan joined last Sunday evening for the first time, and it was really cool.
It was.
Yeah.
It was awesome just to be with all, I think there were 10 people there.
Yep.
They just kept adding on one person. I was like, oh, geez, it was like 3 people to start, and it was 10 at the end.
Yeah. Was that okay?
Yeah, it was nice to just see all the people.
Now, that was your first time doing something like that, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to be able to go to the NSA conference. It's just too far away this year. But to go to something like that, that would be awesome.
Well, now that you're beginning to investigate all of the resources that are available, maybe that can be a goal that you can work towards over the next year, and maybe you can see about attending next year.
Yeah. That's what I was talking to my mom about.
Have you looked into whether or not there is a NSA support group in your area of New Hampshire?
Yeah, there is, but it's nowhere near me. There's only one.
Oh, where do you live in New Hampshire?
In Keene, New Hampshire.
And where's the support group?
I forget.
Okay, well, maybe you'll have to start your own one of these days.
Yeah. Once I get more comfortable, maybe.
That'd be really cool because, as I'm sure you're aware or you're learning, 1% of the population stutters. So I'm sure there's other people in your area, that would love the opportunity to get together and meet other people in a support group setting.
Yeah, that would be good.
Have you ever met somebody else who stutters in person?
I did when I was in rehab. I met somebody, and he and I talked because we sat next to each other, and I didn't realize it till we went around the room and said our names, and he couldn't say his name either.
Oh.
So I think it's, I don't know if it's just me or like some people that stutter, but I swear some people, it seems like we all can't say our names.
Yeah, that's pretty common. It's pretty common because first of all, there's the whole idea that it's something that you can't change. So you can't change your name, although some people that I know have
Yeah.
just so that they wouldn't have to stutter on their name. And I think it has something to do with time pressure. Because when somebody asks you your name, they expect you to tell them like right away. And
Yeah.
if you stutter and you can't get it out quickly, I think that adds to our anxiety, and then our anxiety speeds up the stuttering.
Yeah, because it's expected when you meet somebody too. You already know that you're gonna have to say it. So you're already like, I don't know, I'm gonna have to say my name, I'm gonna have a problem with it. But
I've heard people tell stories of like when they go to Starbucks. And you know how they always ask you your name so they can write it on the cup?
oh yeah, I just changed my name for the day. I've definitely done
You have?
that. Yeah.
Yeah, it's the things we do, I guess, to just try to survive and get through each day the best that we can.
Yep.
So, do you want to get into a little bit of your recovery s story?
Sure. On May 3rd, which is coming up, I celebrate 4 years of sobriety from drugs and alcohol. I was an alcoholic, and heroin and cocaine and crack addict. I used for the majority, since I was 14, till I was 25, so that's about 10, 11 years. I started in high school where I guess I got in with the quote unquote wrong crowd. I started drinking and smoking weed and just getting into pills and this and that and the other. And that continued and progressed through high school and after high school. I drank and drank a lot after high school and did a lot of pills and cocaine when I was 21. I was introduced to opiates and soon was introduced to heroin, and that changed my life. That was like my new love. I stopped drinking, I stopped doing all drugs besides heroin. And I really just lost myself. I had a boyfriend that he cared more about himself than about me or about our relationship. So he always had to sell drugs, and I had a really good job. I got fired from it for missing too much work. So we basically just went to him selling drugs and me doing them. This went on for a few years. I overdosed multiple times and was able to be brought back. I basically got sober. I got sober on my own. I was fed up with life. The way that it was, the way I was, who I'd become. I didn't know who I was anymore. When I looked in the mirror, I was down. I was 80 pounds.
Wow.
Yeah, because we weren't eating anymore. We were like barely eating. We were doing drugs and drinking, so. He and I would fight every day about how much drugs he would do and I would do, and it was just a mess. I decided to leave him and get sober. I did this multiple times and then ended up going back to him multiple times. And the last time I was May 3rd, 2012. I left him and I haven't been back to him. I pretty much blocked him out of my life. I changed my phone number. I blocked his phone number. Like, I moved from where I was living to get away from all the chaos. I wanted to really get clean and sober. I really wanted to get to clean up my life. I was tired of living the way that I was living. So I got sober and a few months into my sobriety, I fell down a flight of stairs and had a CAT scan done because I hit my head. And the CAT scan came back with these two marks on it. So they wanted me to get an MRI. Well, when I got fired, my insurance only lasted till October when I was 26. That's how the insurance was back then. So it was almost the end of my insurance. And I went to get the MRI. And long story short, I found out that I had to have brain surgery.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
Yeah.
Did they find a tumor?
It was a cavernoma, which is a tangle of veins. Which was right by the spot. There's like a strip in your brain that controls the right side of your body and the left side of your body. It was right near that, and where it was not in a good spot for that. Because when they did the surgery, they were in there around that spot, so when I woke up, I had no feeling on the right side of my body. So I had to learn how to do everything over again.
Oh, wow.
I had to learn how to eat and write and walk and type and like everything all over again. I had to learn how to use the whole right side of my body again. And I wasn't prepared for that. I didn't know that's what was going to happen to me. So that was like kind of okay, let's get let's start the recovery process.
Right. Wow, you have been through so much.
I found out that I had a lung disease that had nothing to do with the brain. And I found out that I had a gastrointestinal, I had a hiatal hernia, which I had to have surgery on, which had nothing to do with the lung disease or the brain. And I had to have surgery on my nose, I found out. Wow. So I had all these surgeries without any pain meds because I wanted to stick to my sobriety. And the only one that I had to have pain meds was the brain surgery.
Right.
And I had 14 staples in my head. I didn't really have a choice.
Yeah. Goodness. Wow. What a journey. First of all, let me just congratulate you on your upcoming 4 years of sobriety.
Thank you.
That's huge. That's a big deal. And let me also congratulate you on your honesty for all that you've shared here. Has all of these health problems, have they had any effect on your stuttering?
I think that the brain surgery did initially have an issue, but I don't think it does anymore. There's a couple issues that I've had since I had brain surgery. Like, I don't have a memory. I don't remember things at all. Like, if I'm talking and somebody interrupts, I have no idea what I was talking about. Like, I used to be able to type really fast and write really fast and stuff like that. I just don't have that capacity anymore, which is frustrating to me.
Yeah, I bet.
I think I'm capable of it. I just haven't worked in so long because of all this stuff that I just haven't been like put to the test, basically. So I'm hoping that I'm capable of it. I just haven't had the chance to like try.
How are you now, health wise?
I still have a lot of stomach issues, and the lung disease that I have is an autoimmune disease. So that's gonna stay with me. That doesn't go away, and unfortunately, that makes me very tired the majority of the time. And it makes things like my fingers numb or my toes numb. And I actually have a pinched nerve in my left knee, making my left leg from the knee down numb.
Oh, gosh.
So I can't feel it right now. So that sucks. But as far as the brain surgery, that everything that has to do with that is good.
Good.
Which is good, because there could have been issues with scar tissue and stuff like that, and we haven't had any of those issues.
Oh, good. Good. Well, that's good to hear. Yeah, wow, what a journey you've been on, health-wise and recovery-wise, and now you're digging into your stuttering more than you have. What type of work would you like to maybe eventually get involved in that will that will test you, that will challenge you?
I'd like to go back to banking. I didn't work in like actual banks. I worked in the operations center. So I worked behind the scenes I worked in three different departments, and I really liked all three departments that I worked in. So any three of those departments would be great. And they're all like the tedious work that nobody else wants to do. Like, I love that kind of stuff. So it's very organized and very like step by step kind of thing. I'm a perfectionist very much, so I do good in situations like that.
And is that a position that you don't have to talk to people a lot?
Exactly. It's behind the scenes, so basically I just sit there and type away on a computer. In one of my jobs, though, I did have to use the phone. I got in an argument with my supervisor one day, 'cause he one day he came over, he sat me in front of the phone, and he was like, "You're gonna learn how to use the phone today." And I was like, "No." I was like, "That's not part of like what my job description is, and I'd really like to talk to the boss about this, you know, because I was going to talk to her about it and explain the situation." And she wasn't there anymore. She left for the day. He was like, "No, you're going to sit here and we're going to wait until the phone rings and you're going to answer the phone." And I was like, "No." And he was like, "Yes." And we went back and forth, and the phone rang, and he told me to pick it up, and I didn't pick it up, and he eventually told somebody else to pick it up, and then he stomped away, and I started crying, of course, because I was so frustrated that he just wouldn't listen to what I was trying to say. Because I couldn't answer the phone. I couldn't say what they wanted me to say on the phone. So, that was frustrating.
Yeah. Well, hopefully one day you'll reach the point where you're so confident in stuttering openly that you won't automatically look for a job that keeps you behind the scenes, because you're a wonderful communicator.
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome. You mean you really are. I mean, you've told your story today, and you've conveyed it well, and you stuttered openly and still were able to get your point across. So you're a great communicator.
Well, thank you.
Let me ask you just one more question as we begin to wind down. What advice would you give to other women that are just beginning their stuttering journey, that are just beginning to look into research and look up on the internet and things like that, that you've been doing? What advice would you give someone?
Keep looking and keep track of what you're looking at. Save everything that you find, because really I went from one thing to the next, to the next, to the next, and found this and found that and found this. So yes, it's a lot of information, but that's how you find good information, is by keeping like the search going and by continuing the search and finding the information. I mean, I found, you know, two different podcasts that I like and now listen to. I found, you know, three different sites that I now receive emails from. And I found that app, that the Stutter Social app. I mean, I found all these things just by clicking on, you know, this and that and the other. So just to keep looking and to save the stuff that you find interesting.
Yeah. That's great advice, and I hope people out there will take that advice and find those resources that can help you feel comfortable being more open and confident about your stuttering. Megan, I just want to say thank you so much for being a guest on today's show. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you for having me.
It's been one wonderful, and I'm just so glad that you mentioned that you found this podcast, and now you've been a guest on it. That's just like full circle. And this has been Women Who Stutter, Our Stories.